Love is the most important evidence of the reality of Christian faith.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about the fruits of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 3, we read, "Now to deal with the matter of meat which has been sacrificed to idols, it's easy to think that we know over problems like this, but we should remember that while knowledge may make a man look big, it is only love that can make him grow to his full stature. For whatever a man may know, he still has a lot to learn. But if he loves God, he is opening his whole life to the Spirit of God." I like that phrase, "It is only love that can make us grow to our full stature." And the most emotionally weazened people I know are the most selfish. They're the people who've really never learned what it is to love anybody. Don't you know that that's the truth? And you know that the more you learn to love, the more God enlarges your heart. And the more you love, the more you can love. The more people you find yourself loving. For any who've not been with us, we've been talking about this love of which the Bible speaks, not the kind of love that we read about in the romance novels. Not a mood, not a temperament, not a feeling, not an emotion, not a hormonal condition, but the giving of oneself for the good of the other. That's what love is, you know. Married love is a determination between two people for the rest of their lives, each to be more concerned about the good of the other than about himself. There would never be a divorce if there were that kind of love. If my only thought was for the good of my husband, how could I possibly find myself in a position where I wanted a divorce? Love is the most important evidence of the reality of Christian faith. And I'm not just talking about visiting the old folks' home or sending a card to a sick friend. I'm talking about giving up your right to yourself at home. I'm talking about doing the little thing which involves offering up something you really wanted to do, giving way to someone else's preference, serving somebody without making a federal case out of it, kindness, simple courtesy, rising to give someone else a chair, helping your wife with her chair at the table or with her coat or opening the car door for her. Little things, tiny things, which are the signals of what's in your heart. F.J. Miles says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, which is love exulting. Peace, which is love at rest. Long-suffering, which is love under trial. Goodness, which is love in action. Gentleness, which is love in society. Faithfulness, which is love on the battlefield. Meekness, which is love at school. Self-control, which is love under discipline. Love in training." And so F.J. Miles is saying essentially the same thing that Evelyn Underhill said in a quotation I gave you a day or two ago, that the first fruit of the Spirit, love, embraces, comprises all the rest. Miles is telling us that all the other qualities in this list of the fruits of the Spirit spring from love itself, or they are manifestations of love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. When I was a teenager, I wrote a letter to Amy Carmichael in India. I had written occasionally to authors, and I had a personal handwritten letter from the author of Anne of Green Gables, L.M. Montgomery, and I was very much hoping that I would have a personal handwritten letter from Amy Carmichael. Well, she was too ill by that time to have written, even if she had had the time. But I did get a card from her nurse, Mary Mills, and the card has Amy Carmichael's own handwriting on it. And this is what it says. It's a quotation from Jeremy Taylor, whose dates are 1613 to 1667, and it's been one of my prayers all my life since Amy Carmichael sent me this. Lord, do thou turn me all into love, and all my love into obedience, and let my obedience be without interruption. Now, I'll repeat that. I'm sure that some of you will want to get a pencil and take it down. It's just three lines, and it's a prayer that would be well worth your memorizing and using. Here it is again. Lord, do thou turn me all into love. Lord, do thou turn me all into love. Next line, and all my love into obedience. And all my love into obedience. And the third line, and let my obedience be without interruption. And let my obedience be without interruption. Love is self-loss, self-opening, self-emptying, self-forgetfulness, self-yielding. Very, very difficult concepts for us whose minds have been infected with the world's thinking on the subject of self-fulfillment and self-esteem. How are we going to learn to esteem ourselves and forget ourselves at the same time? I really don't see how that can be done. How am I going to worry about self-fulfillment if I am going to love to the extent of self-loss and self-emptying? For me, one of the ways in which love must be manifested, and one of the ways which involves self-loss and self-yielding, is keeping my mouth shut. And for me, keeping my mouth shut is hard. I have to leave some things up to God and thus avoid unnecessarily hurting somebody else. Doing for my husband what I really don't feel like doing. Every now and then, when I've gotten going well on a project, my husband will come in and ask me if I can type a letter for him. He doesn't type, and so, of course, my answer has to be yes. It's not convenient. So what else is new? Love is inconvenient. If I'm working on a radio program or reading my mail, I don't want to be interrupted. Love is the willingness to be interrupted. Love, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, does not keep account of evil. All the fruits spring from love. Now, there are three groups which indicate the form and direction which our growth in love must take. The first result of living in love is joy and peace, and therefore a tranquil and deep delight in God. The second is long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, in tranquil and complete acceptance and use of life of our human relationships and environment. And the third will be faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. That is a quiet, creaturely acceptance of our own particular limitations and callings. For these, also, I am indebted to Evelyn Underhill, who has taught me so much. And let me say here that if there's no way that I can tell you the sources of everything that I say on this radio program, I don't really suppose you've ever heard anything which is entirely original with Elizabeth Elliot. I have been taught by countless teachers, some in books, some in person. I study my Bible, I pray, I ask the Lord to teach me by His Holy Spirit, and sometimes I think I've learned something just all by myself from God, and I find out later on that it's something that I've learned from somebody else. So I don't mean to plagiarize, and I don't mean to fail to give credit where credit is due, but it's just impossible, that's all. But I'm telling you right now that those three things came from Evelyn Underhill. The first result of living love is joy and peace. The second is long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. She's divided these fruits into three groups. And the third is faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. And I thought that was an excellent outline of the fruits of the Spirit. These are groups which indicate the form and direction our growth in love must take. We must come down, as it were, from the unlimited splendors of divine love to our very limited capacity, teaching us meekness and temperance. The path of the Spirit transfigures the souls it seeks. We might even dare to say that our Lord's life is, in some respects, a demonstration of this law. The joy and expansion of His communion with the Father and knowledge of His powers, culminating in the transfiguration, the gentleness and long-suffering of His healing ministry. You can see the fruits of the Spirit in the life of Jesus Himself, and I pray that He will produce those fruits in you and me.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.